Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast. We're going to get ready to go into our Bible class, but first we're going to have a devotion, a short devotion, a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and we're going to just get started so we can go through our Bible class on tonight. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 75. Unto thee, O God, I give reverence to God who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am indeed happy to be on our radio broadcast by Bible class on tonight. I just thank and praise God this evening for another opportunity. We're going to get ready for our devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. A scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 75. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillar of it. I said unto the fool, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horns on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the north, or from the south. For promotion cometh neither from the east, neither from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. For in the hands of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poured out the same. But the dread thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to God of Jacob, to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. I have just read from Psalm 75 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word on this evening. We're going to have our song now.
Can you imagine just standing before the king? Oh, I can't imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I could only imagine what might be when fate is before me. I can only imagine. I could only imagine. Deep around the body of glory, what will my soul be? Will I live for Jesus? Or in all you be still? Will I stand in the sand? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I could only imagine. that day comes, and I find myself standing in the clouds, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I could only imagine. I could only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees? Will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah. Holy Mother, to be surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for your freedom? Or in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? Can you only imagine? Can you only imagine? If we don't have any words to say, we can cry out.
Come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you today, this evening, God, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come this evening confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come first of all, God, just asking you to bind up the strong man from our lives today, God. Bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast. Bind the strong man, God, from everyone that's under the sound of my voice, God. I bind up the strong man and every demonic force in the name of Jesus. Every demon that's on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come this evening, God, because we've been ready to study your word, Lord, and we asking you today, God,
to open up our minds. Open up our minds, God, and open up our hearts, Lord, and that you can teach us, and we're receiving on today. I'm asking you right now, God, to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. Teach us, Lord, we need you, and we can't make it without you tonight. We need you, Lord, and we cannot make it, Lord, without you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I'm asking you right now to bless everyone, God, under the sound of my voice today. Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, to let this word just be plain. Simplicity, God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, God, to bless each one, God. Bless us, God. We give you praise and glory. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you for your word. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your promises, God. We just thank you today, Lord. We magnify you today. We glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, cover us, God. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it all. Amen, amen, and amen. We just thank and praise God. Good evening, everyone. We thank and praise God for another opportunity today to be back this evening, to be back on our radio broadcast on this evening. And we just give God all praise and glory on today. We just thank him for being our Father, our provider, and all that we need. Everything we need, God is. So I just thank and praise God on tonight just for who he is. We're going to get ready to start reading the word of God. On Tuesday night, I read chapter 36, and it's about the generation. Now, I can read it again, but that was a hard task to go through Esau's generation. So it's just the generations, and it's telling about the dukes and the princes and the kings and stuff. I'm not going to go over that again because that was something. But we're gonna read, and I hope everybody kind of remember that it's just the generations of Esau. So we're going to go to chapter 37 now. But we are going to answer the question. If I need to read 36 again, I will. But if not, I'll go on to 37 because 36 is about the generation. So chapter 37. Begins with Joseph's dream. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Oh my God. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brother saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood round and about and made absence to my sheep." Anyway, and his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. and said, behold, I dream a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made Abyssinian to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flock, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he called to Shechem. He came to Shechem, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they fed their flock, where they fed their flock. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balms and myrrh, going to carry down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then they passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto the brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whether shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, and evil beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave until my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start in 36. And like I said, I read 36 last week. Yeah, I read 36 last week, but we're going to see about, I think it's two or three questions for 36. It says, from what land did Esau choose his wife? Do anybody remember that? What land did from the land of Canaan, yes. And from what son of Abraham were these people?
Was it Ishmael?
Yeah, Ishmael. Okay. From what son of Isaac are the Amalekite, Amalek? Did I answer it?
The Eliphaz?
It's that. It's the Amalekite. It's the, because Esau is the father of the Amalekite. Remember, let me go over here. Because he married into, he shouldn't have been married into that, but he did. And so he became the father of the Amalekites by marrying into that. Anyway, I'm trying to find it where it is. I'm going back in my Bible because I can't hardly remember nothing from the other day. But I know he married. Let me see. Let me just read it. What I'm looking at, starting with. Okay. I don't want to go back through all these names. Okay. Let me see. And see, they named the dukes and everything. But when Esau, he left and went to Edom, and that's where the Amalekites and stuff is around from Edom. But just let me read a little bit. See, over in Obadiah, well, perhaps, see, when Jacob and Esau was born, you know, we wonder why God said he loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. That was something for him to say that. I wonder why would he say something like that? He say, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate. And so I kind of studied that a little bit, and it was like Esau looked a bit on the outside, and God knew, y'all know God know everything before it happened. God knew that he just looked good on the outside and how he was in the inside. You know, God don't make mistakes. And Obadiah, and I read that, it kind of unveiled Esau. He grew when he got to be the Ammonite. He grew and grew and grew, and each one of them was a little Esau. They all did what Esau was doing. And that nation was full of pride. Esau, the Edomite, the pride of their own heart had deceived them. You know, because, you know, when you have pride is just awful, because can't nobody tell you nothing. Your head is lifted up. You strutting around here thinking you something you're not. It was over in Obadiah chapter 1. verses 3 and 4. Let me see if I can read that right quick. Because I read all this stuff and then I put it down. Give me a second. Obadiah. He had so much pride in God. He's proud. You know, pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit comes before the fall. You can't have that kind of pride. I don't care who you are. God ain't with that. He ain't in tune with that. Mm-mm. You can't have that kind of biggity pride, and that's what Esau was. He thought he was more than, but see, God saw this stuff. He already knew it. He saw it all at first. God made us. He know how we are. Let me read. He can tell anything that we're going to do. I'm going to read to verse 5. The vision of Obadiah, thus said the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Remember, verse 2 says, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thy heart have deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that said in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalted thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, this will I bring thee down, said the Lord. See, they lived up in the cliffs of the rock of the mountain. They were so high, they didn't want nobody around the Edomites. They didn't want nobody around them. And couldn't nobody get up there but God. They stayed up so high in the mountain. Up there, just like he said, where the eagles live up high. And couldn't nobody get to them but the eagles. But God said he would bring them down, and he did. So those were the Edomites. They was just full of pride, and that's why they went up. They didn't want to be bothered with nobody else. They didn't want to be bothered with nobody else. Their heart was full of pride. And like I said, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God never said that until over 1,000 years after these men lived, he said it. But God knew the hearts of Esau in the beginning when they were born. He knew how this was going to work out, because it was two different nations. It was two nations in the mother's womb. So he knew how it was going to turn out. That's why he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And that went all back. Okay. And from what son of Isaac are the Amalekites? Did I answer that? Esau. Okay. We're going to go to 37.
Mm-mm. Apostle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a little something about Esau.
Okay.
And Jacob. So with Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at Esau, came the 14 dukes of Edom.
Yeah. Yeah, he had some more, too.
He had some more dukes?
He had some. Remember I read that last week, all this stuff I read? Go ahead. Let me look and see. That was in thinking. 36, but he had some more. It was some princes or something. But go ahead.
Yeah, but that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, he had he had his sons, all them sons and grandsons were dupes and stuff like that. But I think he had some more stuff he had. And I probably should have read it over so everybody could hear. But that was a lot trying to pronounce all those names, all those dupes this and dupes that. Yeah, you're right. He had a lot of dupes, but they were his sons and grandsons, his sons' sons and stuff. But God brought them down, and I believe that's another way his head got beat, because he had dupes and stuff like that in the family.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that those were the two nations that you were talking about, and, you know, the two nations were Esau and Jacob. Because, you know, Jacob had a whole tribe. And then we're not going to call Esau, you know, people a tribe. Because, you know, they had a whole other mission where God had, you know, tore them down. But I was just looking up that meaning of Duke and just kind of getting off of in what Duke stood for and stand for. But it was like, you know, they had their whole thing that they were on, and they was high up in the mountains like you were talking about, and they were very prideful. But, you know, they thought that they were something, and God definitely tore them down, whereas he built Jacob's tribe up, the 12 tribes of Israel up. And so it just kind of, it's the first time that I've ever really saw the distinction in the word about Esau's people and Duke this and Duke that. But, you know, he was trying to build up his nation, and he did, and God did tear him down. So it was just, you know, kind of interesting about the Dukes.
It is. And then it teaches us about pride as well. Because, like you say, he was building his nation up, but they were just like him. They were little Esau's, and they was doing what they saw him do. And he had that pride spirit so bad. And that's why he didn't want to be around everybody else among the other people. He wanted his nation to be up high. He wanted to sit up high above everybody else, where the eagles live, way up. And couldn't nobody get to him but the eagles. But God got to him and brought him down. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start on chapter 37. Why did Jacob love Joseph more than his other children? Anybody? Nobody know that?
Is it because he interpreted his dream, or he seen something in him that he loved?
Well, it was because he was born in Joseph's old age. I don't know how old Jacob was, but he was old. I think he was. I don't know. It didn't stay right here, but I know Jacob was old when Joseph was born, and he was even older when Benjamin was born, but he loved him because he was Rachel's son, and it was in his old age that he had gotten that son. What did he make for Joseph? What did Jacob make for Joseph?
A coat of many colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, but okay, did Joseph's brother like him? We know that.
Yes, he hated him.
Yep, he said, no, they hated and envied Joseph. Yes, they did. What did Joseph's dream mean to his brother? The dreams that Joseph was kind of telling them, what did them dreams mean to his brothers and his daddy?
They thought he was trying to be like over them and like usurp their authority or say that they gonna bow down to him. But that was really a dream that God gave, and it, in a sense, it was, he was in a higher status, but it wasn't like they were taking it. That's why they hated him, you know.
Yeah, the dream meant that they would bow down to Joseph and serve him. What did Joseph's brothers plot against him? What was the plan that they had? They were trying to plot some up.
They wanted to kill him.
Yep. Absolutely. They sure wanted to kill him. Okay. Who did not want to do this to Joseph? Which one of them?
Reuben.
And that's right. And Reuben was the oldest one. See, and Reuben knew better. He knew, you know, if how important he was to his dad, his father. What did they do to Joseph? What did they do to Joseph? They sold him. They sold Joseph.
They threw him in the pit first.
Yeah, they sure did. They threw him in the pit. Go ahead, Sonny. Yeah, they threw him in the pit.
They threw him in the pit and then they sold him.
You know, when I was reading, when somebody went back for Joseph and he was already gone, I thought. Anyway,
Reuben went back and to get him, but he was gone already.
Sold him into slavery. And that just go to show you, jealousy and envy comes with all other evil. And see, he was just really, truly telling what he was dreaming. That's why you can't even hardly tell everybody your dream. Because, I mean, you may be telling them because God telling you to tell them. Or maybe God telling you don't tell them because it could be a situation just like this. You have to be careful who you allow to know your dream. Especially if it's something that you don't understand and you don't know. But he knew what it was. But he just didn't think they were going to hate him like that. He didn't want his brothers to hate him. He wanted his brothers to love him. But the dreams that he was having was true. God was truly showing him that his brothers was going to serve him, was going to bow down and serve him, even his dad, his family. It was the truth. So you have to be careful who you tell your dreams to. Only God, if he wants you to share them, he'll tell you. But, you know, if it's something like this, I don't think you should tell anybody unless God tell you to. Because this stuff, like I said, jealousy and envy comes all other evil. And they hated him. Hate is some kind of destructive word. It comes all other evil. Now, with that hate and envy, they stole him. They into slavery. They wanted to kill him and all kinds. They lied like he was dead. It just brought all them other sins in, the sins they let in from just that jealousy and envy. People be asleep. You be, you know, sitting up thinking about how you can do something to them and how you can hurt them and stuff and what you can do to make their life safe. You know, people, something else. You have to be really, really careful, really careful. They plotted against Joseph, his own flesh and blood, his own brother. Where did the Ishmaelites take Joseph?
To Egypt.
Yep. They took him to Egypt. What did the brothers tell Jacob about Joseph?
That a wild beast must have ate him.
Now, you know that was a lie. Just lying. Just lying. Then Jacob, he was old when Joseph was born. He was in old age when Joseph was born. Now, you know, he's much older, Joseph, 17. I know Jacob well over 100. And he loved Joseph. That was his firstborn by Rachel. Or was it Rebecca? Am I saying it right? It's one of them.
Yes.
I mean, he loved them so much, and he knew his brothers was, you know, kind of envying him, because every time he wake up in the morning, he start telling his dream like it wasn't nothing. But dreams mean something, and God was letting Joseph know what was going to happen. He was letting Joseph know. I don't think he was intent for Joseph to go and tell him, but he was letting Joseph know what was going on, what was going to happen. And he just went back, hey, y'all, let me tell you this dream. Y'all going to bow down to me and serve me and do this and do that. Even he told his daddy. His dad was like, wait a minute now, you mean me and the whole family got to serve you, got to bow down to you? But it was what God was truly showing him. And then Joseph turned around, Jacob turned around and sent Joseph to find his brothers. That was the worst thing he could have did. Because that gave them an opportunity for the devil to get busy. But to me, because you know, everybody who done read this before know that God going to show up. Because when God with you, he more than the world against you. I don't care. I don't care how I look or nothing like that. But when God with you, he'll fight your battles. He'll make your enemies your footstool, and then I don't care how bad it get, because it got bad, Joseph still found favor. And if Joseph found favor, you can find favor too with God. If Joseph found favor with God, he's not a respected person. I don't care how bad things get, things was bad with Joseph, but he still had favor. He still had favor. And I don't want anybody else got anything to say, because I'm just running my mouth. Any comments or anything?
Yeah, I want to comment. I was speaking with a brother earlier in the Lord. The Lord put in my spirit to call him, and I was just sharing with him what the Lord what the Lord was telling me, he was telling me he wants us to get to a place where we hear his instructions, follow his instructions, and then give our testimony. And so when he was telling me, a lot of times we help people put stumbling blocks in our way by telling them what you're doing, where you're going, and everything else. And so the Lord was talking to me, and he basically was telling me, who better to discuss these things with than the person who's telling you? You know what I mean? So anyway, so afterwards I got off the phone, and my prayer partner, she just kept coming to me. I said, you know what? I got to tell you something. I don't know, you know, what this means to you. I gave her a revelation, and she just said straight out, confirmation. I'm like, what? She said, I just prayed to the Father about this. Now, the situation is she's like a mother of Zion. She have a lot of spiritual daughters. I joke with her. She get 300 every week. But she have a lot of spiritual daughters. And this young lady came in her life, and she's been ministering to pouring into her at seed, but she was hungry, and she had a readiness of mind to receive the word, and things was turning around rapidly in her life. So she was getting ready to go to Florida for a trip. She was going to stay a couple of months, but then, you know, she didn't know if she would come back, and she told her about it. And then all of a sudden, she just was feeling in the spirit a block. She's like, Lord, I feel like something is blocking me. What is it? So she went into prayer, and the Lord told her to ask the exact person that she's been praying against it. And so she, after he told her, she called her and asked her about it. And she said, yeah, I was doing it, but it wasn't nothing malicious. She was coming from the standpoint that she just met her, and a whole lot of things in her life changed. And she didn't want to lose that relationship she had at that time. So what happened after that, she just made her move, and then once she got wherever she went to, then she told people about it. So that's all I want to say.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Well, you know what? There's so many times God will show us things, because he used to do me like this all the time. He'll show you something. He don't tell you to say nothing, even in the prophetic. Like on Friday when we have our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour. And that was good, Brother Harold. That was a good example, too. But in the praise, prayer, and prophecy hour, when I prophesy, I can't say everything that God is telling me or saying to me. So that lets me know, and it should let everybody know, that you cannot tell everything. Even when I had to learn it by heart, I used to tell people what I was getting ready to do, my vision, and baby, they'll take it and run with it so many times. And so it's to the point where you cannot tell people everything, especially unless God tell you to, or if you allowing somebody to help you interpret the dream or even the prophecy, what God, or the vision that God has given you, you don't understand it. But if you let God tell you, if you wait for God to show you, he'll even send somebody to help you. He'll send somebody to tell you what he's trying to tell you. Believe me, because it was one night I just kept feeling like I needed a word from the Lord. And one night, and my cousin, Tim, he called me. He said, cuz, he said, I got this prophet. He want to talk to you and something like that. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to call you back with him on the line. So he never called me back. So the next day, because I had been praying and asking God, I don't like people just prophesying to me. I like God to send them. So the next day, one of the apostles out of St. Louis called me. No, she was trying to call me, but I got this thing on my phone where if you don't call me often, it'll block you. So she was trying to call me and it wouldn't let her call. So she got one of the apostles that I had affirmed early on some years ago. She called me. She said, Apostle, She said, Apostle Rachel trying to contact you. I knew your number hadn't changed or something like that, but she had got word she couldn't call me. So she said, let me give you her number. I said, I got a number. So I called Apostle Rachel. She said, it's a prophet out of California trying to say that God has given her a word to give to you. Now, I don't know this lady, and she don't know me. But this lady, God sent her to give me a word just like that. And she gave me the word. She connected us. I haven't talked to her since then, but she knew everything. God did give her a word for me, and that's the word I was looking for. So I thank and praise God, but we still have to be careful and listen. God tell you to do something, because, you know, you can get in trouble too doing what God tell you to do, but God knows, but he tell you to say it anyway. He'll tell you to say it. If God tell you to say it, say it. But sometimes we be trying to be seen and trying to be heard and known and like you this and that. That's why, you know, it's a lot of people I don't listen to, because they had a big head. They be trying to be seen and all this prophetic stuff. I don't have time for that. I'm trying to please God and not man. So that's another thing. You have to be careful of the things you do and say when it concerning God, when God has something to do. And you should always, always ask God before you do anything. Ask God about it. It's nothing, but ask God about it before you do anything. I'm telling you, like, anybody have anything, any comments or anything? Just like the other day when I had everybody, all my children and husband on the phone about my surgery on tomorrow. And everybody was talking to the doctor and asking her this and asking her that and stuff. And, you know, my husband just told her, she don't need the surgery. I don't know why you're doing this. He told me he had questions. Actually, he didn't have questions. He just commented and said, she don't need this. Just caution, stuff like that. So today, when they called me to register me, the nurse said, well, you might not have to stay over. I said, why? She said, well, she's going to just try something out and see if you need the surgery. You may not need the surgery. I said, now look at God. When I got off the phone, I said, okay. She said, so if you don't need it, she's not going to do it. She's going to try something out first. And that's all he was saying in the first place. So, you see, you have to pray and believe God's word. I wasn't going to do it at first, but I said, Lord, whatever it takes, I trust you. I trust you. So that's what happened. And we have to really, really be careful how we doing things, especially when it comes to dreams and visions. Because I know y'all dream a lot. I know people on this broadcast dream a lot. I know they do. I know they have visions. I know they have visitations. But a lot of times God do not want you telling people what he tells you or show you until he said. It may be something that he wants you to tell somebody, but let him tell you when. Let him tell you how, because Joseph was telling stuff and it was making them angry. It was making his brother hate him. And God don't want them to hate him. God don't want that. So with Joseph stepping out of line and not in order, but he just 17, he a kid. So he don't really know. He don't really know. He just telling his dad and his brothers what he see, what he dream at night. This is a really good, I love this. I love this Joseph, because it's a whole lot more to this. And we're in chapter 38 and 39, we're going to get to it. In 40, we'll get to a lot of things about Joseph, and this is a teach, and if we can learn a whole lot from Joseph, we're gonna learn a whole lot from Joseph. So, any more comments or anything? Amen. Well, I thank and praise God. I'm telling you, this was awesome, and it's going to be even better as we go on down through Genesis. It's going to get better. And Joseph, you can kind of understand after this, maybe after 38 and 39, you're going to know what God is doing. God is doing something with Joseph like he is doing with all of us. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. So I thank and praise God on tonight. I'm sorry I didn't want to read chapter 35. I had a hard time with those names last week, 36, I mean. Does anyone have any questions? Does anyone have any questions or comments before we get off? Okay. So I'm going to ask you all to pray for each other. You know, we need to pray for each other. And on Tuesday, we'll be back on chapters 38 and 39, and I'll be more prepared for everything. Who's that making all that noise on this radio broadcast?
Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah. So we're going to get ready to close out, and we'll be back. I don't think I'll be able to come on tomorrow night. This our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour. I don't know yet if they say I'll probably get to come home tomorrow. If things go well and everything, I get to come home tomorrow. So I still don't think I'll be feeling like getting on for the prayer. But we'll be on Sunday for our worship. And we have a guest speaker on Sunday. So just be praying for our guest speaker on Sunday. And we're going to get ready to close out. It seemed like we didn't talk enough about this, but maybe it's enough of what God wants us to do. But I know it was so good. It was very good. My man kind of been distracted today and off today, but it's okay. When we go on down through Genesis, it's going to be good. It's going to be so much better. So anyway, Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for everyone that's up under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask you to keep each one of them covered and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them right now, God. Lord, I thank you for all of them. I thank you for them, God. Thank you for the word that you've given us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless them and keep them tonight. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. We'll see you all back here on Sunday. Sunday afternoon at 12:30 Central and 1:30 Eastern time. But for our Bible class, we'll be back on Tuesday evening, 6:30 Central time, 7:30 Eastern time. God bless you all. Have a good night. And we love you. God love you. I love you too. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.